This is the Irrationally Exuberant. I'm Reed Messerschmidt.
Webster's Dictionary defines reptilians as... Just a moment, let me find it. Webster's Dictionary does not define reptilian. Well, that's curious. Could it be a mere oversight? Perhaps Noah Webster was a blood-drinking, shape-shifting pederast from space and/or another dimension, intent on earthly domination and the enslavement of the human race, and omitted reptilian from his word-defining propaganda book to conceal his real identity and keep humanity in the dark about the true nature of the world we live in. It's the only reasonable explanation. I know. I'll look for other clues in this weighty tome. Bear with me. Here it is. Humans. A slave race of lower beings that believe themselves to be free. Their blood is delicious, and their children are quite fuckable. Oh my God. I suppose I'll have to come up with a definition for reptilian myself, since it turns out that quote-unquote Noah Webster is not in fact interested in providing me with the meaning of English words, but harnessing us all with the yoke of the New World Order. Live and learn. Cue the music. Reptilians, also known as lizard people, reptoids, reptiloids, saurians, draconians, or, depending on who you're speaking with, Jews, are 7 to 12 foot tall lizard-like humanoids and are covert overlords. They occupy every significant position of power, from your local police chief to Beyonce, to Barack Obama, to Ban Ki-moon, to, I don't know, Donald Trump. He's probably a mole person, come to think of it. I can't give you a complete list because reptilians, on this planet and in this dimension anyway, tend to take on the human form. They might live in the moon or the center of the earth or both. They might travel interdimensionally. We definitely know that they are either the living descendants of dinosaurs who took shelter underground during the extinction event that killed off the rest of their kind and then evolved over hundreds of millions of years, or extraterrestrials from the Alpha Draconis star system, or interdimensional travelers, or some combination of all three. They have ruled the planet from the beginning of civilization, and their bloodlines can be traced back to the ancient Sumerians. Their motives are a bit hazy, but mostly seem to revolve around creating a single world government. What they intend to do once this is in place remains a mystery, but I would bet dollars to donuts that it involves devouring our flesh. In short, reptilians are our masters, whether we know it or not, and someday soon, barring a large-scale revolution or the invention of some sort of reptilian killing spray, we will all bow before them in a much more literal sense. That's the theory, anyway, and an estimated 4% of Americans believe it to be true. 12,803,600 people in the United States. Eligible voters, mind you. The most well-known proponent of the reptilian theory is David Icke, a charming and disarmingly cogent British gentleman, perhaps the only man alive able to pull off a moderately dignified mullet. It's impossible, really, to have a conversation about reptilians without having a conversation about Icke. He gained fame in England as a professional footballer and later a sports commentator. In 1991, he had a vision after an instructive meeting with a psychic and held a press conference with his wife and the psychic, who were now all living together and only wearing turquoise, to tell the world that he was, quote, a son of the Godhead, and that massive earthquakes would rock the nation within the year and the world would end in 1997. Then he went on the popular British chat show, Wogan, dressed in an appalling turquoise windbreaker and repeated the claims. He was basically laughed off the stage. But here's the thing about David Icke. When you watch the video of the Wogan interview, he comes across as the good guy. The audience and host come across as cruel and maybe even close-minded. Time and again, since that moment, he has convincingly presented himself as the level-headed underdog, even when what he's saying is that the President of the United States is a pedophilic space monster. It's quite a gift. Ike went away for a while after the incident on Wogan to spend time with his family and await the earthquakes, which never came, of course. He had broken the cardinal rule of prophecy: never give a definite date. Would-be seers throughout history have found themselves laughingstocks when the day they said the world would end, or whatever, came and went without incident. I, for example, once predicted that Dippin' Dots, the purported ice cream of the future, would render all other iced creams obsolete by March 11, 2002, and was humiliated when that date came and went and Ben and Jerry's was still very much a thing. I've never forgiven Ben or Jerry for that, but it was my fault really, and it's time I reckon with that. Anyway, Ike learned his lesson. When he came back, he had a new theory, one without an end date. It centered on a popular idea amongst conspiracy theorists: the New World Order, the true rulers of the planet who are constantly scheming to unite the Earth under their exclusive control to debatable ends. These leaders are historically believed to be members of such groups as the Illuminati, the Freemasons, who are closely related to the Illuminati, the Bilderberg Group, Skull and Bones, the Council on Foreign Relations, and, in some of the darker corners of this thing, that old go-to chestnut for lazy hate and fearmongers, who I mentioned before, the Jews. The list goes on and on, really, and is hotly debated. What do all of these groups have in common? You guessed it. Wealthy white men with a lust for power. I want to pause here for a moment to offer my position on all of this. Look, it's fun to buy into these conspiracy theories, especially when they're as far out as reptilians. The world of conspiracies is filled with intrigue and colorful characters, and it appeals to both the need to believe in something bigger than oneself and to rage against the machine, as it were. I've no doubt that some of the groups I previously mentioned are sketchy and have malicious intents, but I also believe that human beings are inherent fuck-ups and incapable of discretion on the epic scale that a worldwide conspiracy would require. Do wealthy white men run the world? Of course they do, for now. But the simplest explanation is always the correct one, and the march of history offers a perfectly plausible explanation of why this is. It's mostly the result of chance, the abuse of power, and the exploitation of others, but to me anyway, the "some people are just assholes" theory makes a lot more sense than an evil cabal. The lizard thing, which we're getting to, I promise, is, I think, a way to rationalize all of this and separate ourselves from this pack of wan, wrinkly old dicks by making them an extreme other. Literally aliens. If they aren't human, it all makes perfect sense and exonerates us from our own more minor misdeeds and sense of entitlement, as well as the suspicion that if given the chance, we'd act the same way. It's also a satisfying, if implausible, explanation for the feeling that there has to be something more to life than just walking around, eating vegetarian chili, earning a paycheck, and collecting grocery store Mexican Catholic candles. Problem is, the feeling is probably wrong. Or maybe it's not. Maybe there is some insane undercurrent. Maybe there is a higher meaning. Maybe we are just the pawns in the reptilians' game. What do I know? Back to the narrative. The lizard people. They make their first appearance in Ike's 1999 book, The Biggest Secret, but the idea is not a new one. The seeds of the reptilian conspiracy theory as we know it today appeared in a Robert E. Howard short story for Weird Tales in 1929 and as purportedly nonfiction pamphlets that Maurice Dorial published in the 1940s. The plot of V, an 80s TV miniseries that was remade in 2009, is pretty much the reptilian theory in its entirety. It all brings to mind Scientology, a quote-unquote religion that began its life as science fiction and was willed into existence as an accepted reality, albeit a fringe one, by a single charismatic spokesman. But it goes back further than that, much further. The antiquity of the thing is one of its main selling points. Like an ancient Chinese remedy, it's old, so it must be true. Take the Bible, for instance. That old serpent that tempted Eve with the fruit from the tree of knowledge? A reptilian. Most every ancient culture had a similar story of some godlike interloper coming to Earth to provide knowledge to and interbreed with humans. Reptilians, all of them. Never mind the fact that this is all allegory and myth. Again, I should add probably to the end of that sentence. This is all allegory and myth, probably. So, how did we get to the point where 4% of Americans believe a moderately interesting science fiction plot to be reality? David Icke gave it the old hard sell. He's written book after book, laying out the idea in incredible detail, which I won't go into here. Read the books if you're curious, they're fabulous. And touring relentlessly to promote them, talking to everyone that will listen, giving lectures that sometimes last for 9 hours, paying and non-paying crowds, which now reach into the thousands in some places, and granting interviews to everyone from national television shows to the most rinky-dink podcasts imaginable. I could probably get him on this rinky-dink podcast. He's positioned himself as a man of the people, willing to hear any idea, no matter how seemingly crazy and baseless. That's inherently appealing. If you've ever spent any time with the radio program Coast to Coast with George Norrie, you are well aware that Americans are convinced of a lot of crazy shit and don't really understand that when you're drifting off to sleep and suddenly see an alien at the end of your bed, you're probably just dreaming. That's how dreams work, for fuck's sake. It must be a great comfort to those people to find a man whose ideas are so far out there that he can't possibly stand in judgment of them. And when you read the books and listen to David Icke speak, he is extraordinarily convincing. He has a real knack for connecting dots, even when those dots are seemingly miles or even light years apart. The guy could get from a snowman to Kevin Bacon in 4 moves. If you go into his theories wanting to believe, he gives you every means to do so. And he's seemingly been proven correct a few times. The portion of the reptilian theory dealing with high-level pedophile rings? True, kind of. Were these people literal monsters or just figurative ones? Probably the latter, but Icke was talking about these pedophile rings over a decade before they gained traction in the wider world. I said he was right a few times, didn't I? Let me think of another one. Oh, right. It's not exactly a prediction, but he was certainly ahead of his time in regards to turquoise tracksuits. Sure, they're not popular at the moment, but I'm going to ignore my own advice and say that they will be within the decade. All right, I got sidetracked with David Icke again. That's easy to do when discussing reptilians, but let's get back to actually discussing the creatures at hand. How would one spot a lizard person? The most common giveaway is their eyes. Reptilians don't have round pupils like you and I, see? Their pupils are vertical slits. There is an absolute treasure trove of revealing eye pictures and videos available on the internet if you can consider blurry pictures and VCR recordings of politicians and famous people a treasure, not to mention a trove. I'm not sure what trove means, actually, and I can't look it up because I'm boycotting the dictionary until Noah Webster reveals his true self. Anyway, Dick Cheney in particular seems to have very slitty pupils. The second most popular method for spotting a reptilian is to catch them shape-shifting, typically by mistaking various interruptions in cable signals as shape-shifting. Again, go to the internet, type in reptilian shapeshifter, and you'll find yet another treasure trove, this time of various people whose faces become momentarily blurry or pixelated. There's no real rhyme or reason to who it can be. Newscasters, politicians, talking heads, Vanna White, David Schwimmer, anyone on television. Any change in the quality of the picture is evidence of a reptilian. Apparently, all of that scrambled porn folks of my generation watched in their formative years was exclusively reptilian. Clearly, the reptilian community is at a loss for proof or really any real-world indication whatsoever that what they believe is true, even a little bit true. Icke seems to be the only one with a consistent worldview, and he is obviously making it up as he goes along. Listen to any of the countless poorly recorded or even well-recorded paranormal podcasts or radio shows out there, and you'll get very little agreement as to what the basic facts of the conspiracy are. What you will get is a happy afternoon listening to freaky deeks and liars arguing about the color of a reptilian's eyes, passionately espousing the use of magic to fight them, or snidely dismissing an ignorant host that doesn't know the difference between a demon possession and a reptilian shapeshifter. It's great. So, that's all. reptilians aren't real and you should just go about your life without a care in the world. Hey, can I talk to you over here for a second? You look really nice today, and I thought maybe we could kiss passionately or something, totally human and normal. Listen, you do look nice, but I just needed to get you alone to tell you that everything you just heard is a lie. The reptilians are real. I repeat, the reptilians are real. They live in the moon, and they drink human blood, and they molest children, and they walk among us. I only said those things because they're watching me, and I don't want them to suck the velvety red life from my veins or feast on my delicious flesh. I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. You've got to believe me. The next episode of the show is going to seem like a parody, but I swear it's not. It's the truth. So tune in next time. I've got to go see a guy about a thing.